We've been here all week, and we've been blessed. The preaching's been good. Fellowship's been good. God's worked in my heart.
Amen.
And I mentioned this to someone the other day. It's great being in church.
Can I borrow that again? I got to put a battery in it. Apparently,
yep. Great to be in a church that's full of kids.
Amen.
We go to some churches, and there's one or two maybe, and all that. But that's the next generation of church members.
Yes.
And the Bible says, raise them up. And when they get older, they will not depart. And so, like Pastor said.
Sorry.
You're all right. Amen. Pastor said, we're missionaries with Wounded Spirits Ministries, and we help minister and help those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. As I mentioned during our presentation, 20% of the population suffers from post-traumatic stress. That's one out of every five people. So I'm pretty sure everyone in here knows five people, and one of those people suffers from PTSD.
Right.
And I got saved in about this time in 2005.
Amen.
Our good friend of ours, Brother Byron Fox, was preaching our revival, and he did Sunday school, and I didn't respond to the invitation. And then he did the same invitation during Sunday morning, and I did. And I could take it to the exact spot where I received Christ. Katie's dad showed me to the Lord that day.
Amen.
And it's been great. It hasn't been a smooth road since then. We got married in June 2006. In August 2006, I was in Afghanistan for the first time. And then in 2009, I went to Afghanistan again. In 2011, I went to Afghanistan again.
Yeah.
And so it was hard. And I have PTSD because of all that and growing up. And but the Lord's helped me. And he's going to help other people through his word.
Amen.
So today we're going to look at John chapter 2. It's a familiar story to most of us. John chapter 2, we're going to start in verse number 1. Like Brother Jacob said, we were in the prayer room. He said, someone asked, who's the second preacher today? And he goes, oh, we don't know. He's like, he didn't tell me until I was about right there.
Right.
Yeah. I was just sitting down. He's like, hey, you're preaching. I'm like, all right.
Amen.
But the Bible tells us we need to be in season, ready in season, out of season, right?
Amen.
So, and as a missionary, you always got a couple messages that you
Amen.
can just preach and stuff. And so we're going to be in John chapter 2, verse number 1. It said, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, he's talking to the servants there, the disciples, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. Verse number 8, it goes on and says, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every good man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. And then in verse number 11, we're going to close this. Beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and has manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for every individual that showed up to this divine appointment that you've had for them today. And Lord, we ask you to bless them. We ask you that they grow in you. Lord, we ask you if there's any one lost person here or listening on the radio, that they come to know you as their Lord and Savior this day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and that's today. And Lord, we just ask you to be with the missionaries that are traveling to and fro and just give them safety at their travels. And Lord, we're just going to give you all the glory and praise in your name. Amen.
Amen.
We learn here that this is the very first miracle that Jesus performed publicly. This is the start of his earthly ministry. This kicks it off.
Right.
And we see the first thing here that it says, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And in verse number 2, we know that Jesus was invited.
Right.
And both Jesus was called and his disciples to this marriage. I believe PTSD is a spiritual wound.
Right.
It's unseen. You cannot see it like other wounds, an amputee or a gunshot or anything like that. It's inside. And I believe the very first step to getting healing is to invite Jesus into your life.
Amen.
We're all born sinners. We're all born with that hole in our heart or a hole in our soul that is the same exact shape as Jesus. And I believe the very first thing in the step of healing is to invite Jesus into your life. We don't know much about the marriage, the couple here, but we know that Jesus was invited.
Amen.
Mary was somehow involved in this. We could take our guesses. Maybe she was the wedding planner or just a friend of the bride or the groom or whatever. But she was there. But Jesus was there. This couple decided on their most important day of their life to invite Jesus to it. And that's what we need to do.
Amen.
Not only in our marriage, we get married in the church for a reason.
Yep.
We get married in the with witnesses.
Right.
To show how committed we are.
Right.
A marriage without Jesus is useless. And for years, I didn't put Jesus first. And for years, I can look back and see that I was wrong.
Right.
But this couple, the very first thing they decided to do was invite Jesus to this wedding.
Amen.
He was in the midst. He was there with them, fellowshipping. He was there drinking their wine. And we know the wine in this instance is just grape juice.
Right.
There's nothing spoiled about Jesus.
Right.
He's not going to make someone else sin, right?
Right.
And drinking strong drink. But Jesus was there. He was in the midst. And he saw this couple start their life together. So the first thing I want you to know is you need to invite Jesus into your life.
Amen.
No matter what you're doing,
yep.
No matter where you're at, what decisions you have to make, pray about it first.
Right.
You'll never make a bad decision if you pray about it first. And then you listen to that still small voice.
Right.
Never in my life would I think that I'd be standing in front of people, preaching about the gospel,
Amen.
Trying to help people. Never would have thought about it.
Right.
When I was growing up, I grew up in a split home. My mom and dad, as far back as I can remember, were separated. And we most of the time we lived with my mom, and there was a church van that came around to pick us up.
Amen.
We went a couple times, but Sunday, back when I was growing up, and way back in the 1900s for you young kids, way back in the 1900s, Sunday was cartoon day. I just wanted to sit around and watch my Looney Tunes or whatever was on TV. I didn't want to go to church. So we'd see the church van pull into our apartment complex, and I would run and hide. And my brother, being the great brother he was, he made excuses for us, right? And then God, throughout my lost life, I knew about heaven, I knew about hell, but I didn't know there was two different people. I didn't know there was a saved and a lost.
Right.
I just thought that good people went to heaven, bad people went to hell, and that was it. And so my dad passed away when I was 16 years old. He had cancer, and he did the chemo treatments, and it just killed him. And then in 2005, after I graduated high school, I moved back to West Virginia, and I started dating Katie. And I have a whole other message about the Good Samaritan, but the brother 2 days ago preached about the Good Samaritan, so And that's the great thing about God's Word. You could preach the same set of Scripture and get two different messages out of it. It's ever living. It's never changing, but it's ever living.
Amen.
But in 2005, we started dating, and Katie goes, we cannot see each other unless you go to church. She was raised in the church that we now attend. It's our home church. Her parents are still in that church and involved, and it's great. And I'm like, I didn't want to go to church. And then I started going to church, and praise be to the Lord, I got saved about this time in 2005, not very long after going.
Right.
And then I joined the Army, and the military is not a good place for a brand new Christian to be.
Right.
And so we had trials and tribulations through that. We got out in 2014. The Army finally said, enough knee surgeries. I've had four knee surgeries. I can't ruck or run or do my job. So they're like, it's your time to go. And so we got out. And long story short, we had a missionary couple go on deputation. They were the bus captains for our church. And so they were going on deputation. And the pastor said, we need someone to fill this spot. And I didn't want to do that. Well, the Lord led us to start the bus ministry.
Amen.
And it was funny because I was the bus kid hiding from the bus. And now I'm going around picking up kids that are hiding from the bus. And Lord works in mysterious ways. And so, but we invited God into our lives full time. Like, with him in your life in the midst, nothing is too hard for you. And he'll make a preacher out of you. He'll make a preacher's wife. He'll make a missionary, a missionary's wife, a Sunday school teacher. He's going to use you for his purpose. But we see that this couple invited Jesus to the wedding. Next, I want to look at Jesus' mother Mary. In verse number 3, it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, talking to Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In verse number 5, it continues, and his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mary played an important role this day. She saw that there was a problem, or there was about to be a problem. They're running out of wine. Mary knew she couldn't go out to the local store and get gallons of grape juice. She wasn't able to go to the wine distributor and be like, hey, we need more wine. They're about to run out. Back then, these weddings could take a week. And it'd be real embarrassing for this couple to run out of wine on this day. So Mary, recognizing there was a problem, one, she knew that she couldn't fix it. With PTSD, and most of any problems a Christian faces, we can't fix it on our own. There's no way that I can fix my own soul. There's no way I can get saved by myself.
Right.
We had to go to Jesus.
Amen.
And Mary recognized this, and she went to Jesus, the only person in that entire wedding party or wedding that could fix this problem.
Yep.
And she goes, they're running out of wine. They want wine. And I always make a joke that says, Jesus is the only person that could talk to his mom like this, calling her a woman. If I tried that, I would have got a backhand.
Yeah.
But it was a sign of respect. It was respectful back then. And he said, what am I going to do? Mine hour, meaning his crucifixion, isn't here yet.
Right.
And then his mom didn't even rebuke. He didn't even go back to Jesus, right? She just went to the disciples or the servants and be like, listen, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
Amen.
Because Jesus isn't going to disrespect his mom.
Right.
Or sin against her. And so Mary went to Jesus, the only person that could fix this problem. In our ministry, we believe and know that Jesus is the only way to fix our problem.
Amen.
He's going to heal us. And he's going to be there with us.
Amen.
But the first thing is you got to invite him.
Amen.
Jesus isn't going to encroach on your
right.
on yourself. He says he stands at the door and knocks.
Right.
It doesn't say that he kicks the door open
nope.
and he's coming in.
Nope.
So you got to invite him.
Amen.
And that was one of the best decisions of my life that day when I decided
Amen.
To let Jesus into my heart.
Amen.
Then you got to go to Jesus with the problem. You know, as humans, especially men, we like to figure problems out.
Yeah.
We're problem solvers.
Yeah.
A lot of problems we can't figure out. I'm glad that God gave us an instruction manual.
Amen.
That men need to go to. Men, everyone, need to go to. It's not like that IKEA furniture where you get the instructions and just wing it on your own. He's got the answer for us right here.
Right.
And we have a resource on our table, a book, that gives you where the answers are. We might not know where the answer is in the Bible. 66 books. There's a lot of things in this Bible.
Sure.
And that resource out there that we have that you could use or someone else could use for certain situations, you go to that chapter, And it says, hey, this is a scripture that goes along with this.
Right.
And you can help someone.
Amen.
But you need to go to Jesus. In our ministry, we're trying to point people towards Jesus.
Yes.
Be like, listen, I'm just one messed up person trying to help other messed up people.
Yeah.
I'm just one sinner trying to show another sinner where to get bread. But we need to go to Jesus. I think of Jonah. Jonah got his marching orders. He said, nah, I don't like those marching orders. He about faced and went the other way.
Yeah.
But as soon as he turned and went back, I mean, God chastised him. 3 days and three nights in the whale. But you got to go to Jesus. He's going to fix it. So we got to be like the married couple and invite Jesus into our lives. Not just at our wedding, in our everyday activities.
Right.
When we travel. Like one of the preachers said, he didn't know where he was going to get food.
Yep.
And there just so happened to be a chicken lay eggs.
Yep.
And he's like, we don't have chickens in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Go to Jesus. Be that person to point someone to Jesus.
Amen.
As Christians, we have the answer. We know we have the answer. And a lot of people won't want to listen to it.
Right.
But you got to keep on, keep on. You got to keep on letting them know, hey. Amen. And sometimes Jesus sees us. Not Jesus. People see Jesus through us when we're at our most broken. How are you so thankful right now? And I'm thinking of the Rochester family right now, that little Chloe just passed away yesterday or 2 days ago now. Little 5-year-old little girl, battled cancer for 2 years. I never once saw one of their Facebook posts with a picture of her with a frown on her face.
Right.
And now that family is mourning the loss of their little girl. But they're rejoicing because they know for a fact that she went to Jesus.
Amen.
That Jesus was her Lord and Savior. And so they can rejoice in knowing that. The pain is still there because they lost her. But just knowing the fact that that little girl is in Jesus' arms right now, running around. Go to Jesus. Send them to Jesus.
Amen.
Invite them to church.
Yeah.
Go pick them up.
Yeah.
Don't let them make an excuse.
Yeah.
We were talking about excuses, I think, the first day. One excuse is just as good as the other.
Yeah.
So we see the married couple. We see Mary going to Jesus. And let's look at the servants here. And it says in verse number 6, and there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And my Bible says a firkin is about 9 gallons. So 18 to 27 gallons apiece that these water pots could hold. And it says, Jesus says unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. They didn't just put water in there. They filled them right up to the top.
Right.
They didn't do it halfway.
Right.
They did it to the top.
Amen.
They filled it up. They didn't want to miss anything that was about to happen.
Right.
They wanted to serve Jesus to the best of their abilities.
Amen.
With all they had. And that's all reasonable service it says. So they went and filled these water pots with water. So 18 to 27 gallons per water pot. That's about 250 pounds of just water. Not to mention the water pot had to be pretty heavy to hold all this and not break. So the disciples or the servants, I would dare say, 2 of them had to carry 1 water pot. Unless they were giants. And they brought them back. And they said they filled them to the brim.
Yep.
Now, I don't know where this wedding was exactly in the city, but there probably wasn't a water well right there where they filled them. So they had to carry the water pots. Then they had to carry them back. And I couldn't take a glass of water from here to the back of the auditorium and not spill a drop.
Yeah.
But these servants didn't spill a drop of that water. These servants served them with everything they had that day. Then he told the servants, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. So again, the servants are serving the Lord.
Amen.
We know at least six of the disciples were here that he called so far, and they're like, okay, we're going to give him water. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. The servants knew what happened.
Right.
All of us saved here today, we're servants of the Lord. The Lord still does miracles. The Lord still answers prayers.
Yeah.
We've been talking, and some of us are like, we don't know where we're going to get food, and that just chickens laid eggs on the back porch.
Yeah.
Sometimes we didn't know where our bill was going to get paid, and we get a check from the insurance because we overpaid escrow or something, and it was for the exact amount that we needed. God's going to take care of his people.
Amen.
And we see these servants didn't hold anything back. These servants did it to their utmost.
That's right.
I bet you if these servants did it halfway, they would have lost half their blessings that day. We don't know. But when the ruler of the feast tasted it, and then he said, in verse number 10, every man in the beginning set forth good wine, and when they have well drunk, then which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And I think of this, about how we have our blessings here. That wine was a blessing. They must have been thirsty. And I know when I'm thirsty, I like a nice cold water. Now I do. It used to be soda. I'll take soda. Or Gatorade. I like Gatorade. But these people didn't understand that blessing that just happened. They didn't know the miracle that Jesus just performed. All they knew is that we were getting more wine and we were thirsty. But we think our blessings here are good. We praise him for our blessings.
Amen.
But it says, every man that begin at the beginning does set forth good wine. But ye have, when men have well drunk, then which is worse? But thou hast kept the wine, good wine, until now. Our blessings here on earth are nothing compared to what we're going to receive in heaven.
Right.
We can't even begin to understand the treasures and blessings that we set up in heaven. But we think our blessings here are good now.
Yeah.
Our little human brains cannot fathom what Christ has set up for us.
Amen.
He's saving those good blessings to last.
Yep.
And it's going to be great when we see him that day. But the three things real quick. One, you got to be like the married couple. Invite Jesus into your life.
Yep.
Invite him in. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says.
Yep.
Tomorrow's not promised.
Yep.
This afternoon's not promised.
Right.
And for me, I'm waiting for that trump.
Amen.
And I think of what we've preached about and what we've heard all week. It's just going to get worse from here until that trump. And I just think Gabriel is up there standing next to Jesus. Said, hey, can I blow this yet? He's waiting to blow that trump. And then Jesus is going to call us up.
Amen.
And then Jesus is like, no, not yet. The Father hasn't told me when to go get him. But he's just waiting up there.
Yep.
I don't know much how much longer the Lord's going to allow us to shake our fist at him. But as Christians, we need to stand up. That's been preached this week too. Stand up. But one, you got to be that Christian couple. You got to be that couple. Invite Christ into your life. You got to be like Mary. Point people towards Christ.
Amen.
Go to Christ when you have a problem.
Yep.
Even before or you think you're going to have a problem, go to him and be like, hey, Lord, provide me with the comfort that you're going to be here. You know, provide for us. And he's going to.
Amen.
And the last thing, you got to be the servants. Be like the servant. Your whole heart, put into it.
Amen.
Every evening after service, there's gentlemen in here sweeping. They're not doing it because they want recognition.
Nope.
They're doing it because they want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And little kids can serve the Lord.
Yep.
We had those little chick tracks out there with the smiley faces. That's easy to hand to a friend.
Right.
Or a little kid that you don't know at the playground or wherever. And I like this little house that the kids put the Sunday school or the offerings in.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Amen.
We've been to several churches where they do that, and the kids run around and get change. And if we did that at our church, it'd be a shakedown. Our kids would not take no for an answer. They'd wait there. But they can serve too.
Amen.
Even the little girls yesterday serving roll, or the other day serving rolls at supper time. Hey, that's serving the Lord.
Amen.
They might not know why they're doing it now.
Yep.
Maybe they don't understand. But they will.
Right.
So serve the Lord no matter what.
Amen.
Serve Him to the fullest. You know, if you hold back from the Lord, He's going to hold back from you.
Yep.
He's not going to give you all the blessings that He's got our blessings set aside, and He's just waiting. I'll be like, oh, okay. But if you don't do something, He's going to leave that blessing over there.
Mm-hmm.
But serve Him. As missionaries, I worked a lot of secular jobs, and I was never happy with one of them. Never. Almost as soon as I got a job, I'd try to find another one because I wasn't happy. And I remember my last job, I worked for waste management, picking up other people's trash. And one day I broke down and I said, I text Katie, I said, I'm quitting. She's like, you can't quit. We don't have any money. You can't quit. I'm like, I'm quitting. I don't like this. I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go pick up people's trash all day until 6 o'clock. That's not fun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm done. And I said, and this was after the Lord's been working on my heart, and we've been doing the bus ministry and taking kids to camp. And I said, Lord, if you want me to be in your service, if you want me to, I don't know what, just serve you full time, just calm my heart. And that second, He did.
Amen.
He gave me that answer that I wanted or I needed. And then we jumped in head first.
Amen.
Into the shallow end, by the way. We didn't know what we were doing. We're just, whatever the Lord wanted us to do, we were going to do it. And we picked up and moved, and we didn't know why the Lord moved us there, but we have some ideas to help another family, to help us a little bit, to hurt us. I don't know, but we did it. But the Lord's going to, He's going to bless us.
Amen.
With that fresh wine and all that stuff in heaven when we get there. And so we need to be like the married couple, invite Jesus into our life. We need to be like Mary, pointing out the problem or trying to fix it before we can, and we need to go to Jesus.
Right.
Those of us with PTSD, we don't think we have a problem. But the people around us that know us know we have a problem.
Yeah.
And so you might know someone today that's going through a rough patch, that's being depressed or something, and you know, hey, have you taken it to Jesus? Do you know Jesus? He can help you.
Amen.
It might not be instant, but He's going to start working on it.
Right.
And the closer you get to Him, the closer He's going to get to you.
Right.
And I've found out through our ministry that me talking about my problems has helped me. You know why? Because every church I go to, you're my church family.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I am in West Virginia. You're my church family. We're all one body in Christ.
Right.
And I can share my burdens with the church. And it's just great knowing that people lift you up in prayer.
Amen.
And so with that, we need to be like the married couple, or the couple, invite Jesus. We need to be like Mary and point people to Jesus and go to Jesus. And then we need to be our servants.
Amen.
Be Jesus' servant. Serve Him with your whole heart, everything you've got. Don't leave anything back. And before I close, we do have our prayer letter sign-up sheet back there. If you guys want to receive our prayer letter, you can either sign up or take a picture of that QR code. But please, take a prayer card. My cell phone number is on there. If you need some help, if you know someone that needs some help, have them contact me, text, or call. I'll be available anytime. And we have resources on our website, woundedspirits.com. That's a good place to start if someone doesn't want to talk. There's videos and podcasts on there that would help.
Amen.
So thank you again for praying for us. We're going to be heading home after lunch today. We start revival in our home church. They started this morning.
Amen.
And so we're going to go be there for that. And just pray for us as we travel and as we're on deputation trying to raise support. God's going to provide no matter what.
Amen.
And like the one brother said the other day, I'm not waiting for $60,000 to promise income. We're heading there whenever we can.
Amen.
But thank you. We'll be here for the rest of the day. If you need help, reach out, please.